So the title for my sermon this morning is Hiding Place. And the word was really actually just a very vivid picture of something that God showed me. And part of the picture was a pool of water that looks like this, but a refreshing pool that sort of, it bubbles up from underneath. So the source of the water comes from a deep well that bubbles up. And I felt I had to drink the water. And the water was like something I've never experienced before. It's like crisp, clean, pure, refreshing. It's just not the same as the thing that you'll get out of a tap. And it was actually so cool to linger there. And I want to share this experience a little bit with you this morning. As we have been waiting, so hopefully you remember that part. We've been waiting on God from the beginning of the year, just waiting on Him. And I know it's hard. It's hard to make time to sit and wait. It is, because life is busy. But I want to encourage you to keep pushing in. Don't stop. My focus this morning is Psalm 23. So I'm going to start with the beginning of Psalm 23, and then I'm going to end with a whole psalm. But I first want to take you on a journey before we read through the whole psalm. So Psalm 23 starts with the first three verses, or first part of verse 3. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." So I just want you to think about this quickly. Think about that, the picture of the water. Think about still waters, green pastures. It's hopefully a nice, peaceful place if you imagine that. It feels like this is where I can rest. It's a place where I want to be. All right. This is what we've been doing, the journey that I asked you. Can you remember the scripture that we had, the word that we had in the beginning of the year? And it's this one, Isaiah 40 verse 31, that says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." So I'm just putting that up that you can remember. This is our scripture, and this is what we're looking at. We've been focusing on waiting and waiting. So I want to try and build a little bit of a bridge this morning into the renewing of strength. Because this whole process of wait on the Lord, renew your strength, and mount up on wings like eagles, and to run and not grow weary, it's not a linear process. It's not a start-end process. And a little bit later, I try to draw you a little bit of a diagram of how I see it, and hopefully that will work, help you as well. But the truth is, this is recurring circles almost. It's not a linear process, but there is a something you have to do before you can do the rest. But in the meantime, it doesn't stop. Okay, so when I talk about renew, it doesn't mean that the waiting stops. We're not going to stop waiting on God. Okay, waiting has to continue, and you will see what I mean in a moment. Once or twice I've spoken to guys while we were doing the Pause app, and I would say, "So how's the Pause app doing? Are you enjoying the Pause app?" And then I often get the response that says, "I've started, but you know, it went well for one or so weeks, but I got too busy. I don't have time." It's 10 minutes. Can you wait and pause for 10 minutes? And it seems to be a real challenge. And I understand, life is busy, things happen. But the truth is, we can't go without the waiting. Yeah. We can't. And if we do, you do it in your own strength. And if you do it in your own strength, then you get tired. Okay. So we have to do the waiting. And the reason for that is we find in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 4, and this whole portion of 2 Timothy 3 fascinates me, actually, because you read it and you think, but read it slowly and you'll see that this is exactly what we experience on a daily basis. This is not for one day. It's not something coming in the last few days just before Jesus returns. It's actually already the case. This is what you are facing every day. And this is why you get tired, all right? So 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 4, and please go read the rest at home. I don't have time now, but it's quite an eye-opener. But it says, but understand this, that in the last days, by the way, the last days started after Jesus ascended up to heaven. It's the era of the church. That's the last days. All right, so it says that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. And look what causes the difficulty. It's actually people. Okay, and then it says, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Is that not the truth? Is that not the world that we are living in? The stuff that you have to face every day as you go to work, as you go to school, on the road, as you try to travel. Okay? This is what we are facing, and this is a constant battle. It's a constant, I want to say, you're being bombarded every day. And if you are in battle, and you are constantly in battle, without a place where you can retreat, you get tired. You do get tired. Even if you've got the best armor on, you still have to, it's tough. You have to put up that shield. You have to swing the sword. You have to dodge and dive, and it gets tiring, okay? So this is our reality. And it's not just a physical attack. So it often comes in the form of people around us that behave in certain ways or maybe situations. But the fact that it's not just a physical attack, because our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And actually, they talk about the principalities of the dark age against spiritual forces of evil. So we are in a spiritual battle that manifests in a physical world. So, and we see that onslaught in different ways. But the Word of God teaches us how we can actually stand in difficult circumstances like this, in difficult situations. So it doesn't matter whether it is well with you at the moment, you don't have financial issues, you don't have relationship issues, you know, you're in a good space, it's going well. The fact is, the moment we interact with people in the world, we have to put shield up, sword out, yeah? So this is a daily thing. And David understood this very well. And so I'm going to do a few psalms, because David knew exactly what to do when things became difficult, when it became hard for him to keep up, okay? So Psalm 61, verse 1 to 4 is the first one I want to read. And you can hear from the first verse, two verses, actually, how David is, he's tired, you know? He is crying out to God. He says, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. So that from the end of the earth, David is not feeling close to God. He's crying out to him while he's feeling far from God. From the end of the earth, he's crying out. He feels that his heart is faint. His heart's not strong anymore. But then he says this, he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. So David understood that there comes a time when he gets tired, when he starts to feel far from God, where he has to say, God is my refuge. I need to find my shelter in God. I need to find my shelter under his wings. That rock isn't just any rock. And Quibus has been talking about the Israelites the last two sermons. So it's not a deliberate link to it. But I thought about it this morning and I thought, hey, this is actually quite cool. So I'll share it with you. So when the Israelites, once they went through the Red Sea, the Egyptians drowned in the sea, they had a big party, very happy, all of this happened, they had sing and dance and what have you. And I think it was about 3 days later, they came to a place where there was water, but the water was bitter. And then they were already like, now we're going to die. Thank you. Thank you, Moses. Thank you for taking us out of Egypt so that we can come and die here, because there's nothing to drink. And so God told Moses, take that branch, put it in the water, and then the water became sweet and they could drink and they were all happy again, you know? And then they move on to the next place. And then it's like, we're thirsty. There's nothing to drink. There's nothing. And then Moses goes to God and he says, what do I do with this people of yours? They've just seen miracle after miracle. They're complaining. They are thirsty. What do I do? So God tells him that go out to the people and see, there will be a rock and I'll be standing on the rock. And then he said, and then you take the staff that I've given you and you will hit the rock and my water will come out of the rock. Nah. And then later in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4, it refers back to this. And I thought this was so cool. I wanted to share this with you. Sorry, it's not on the slide. It was a thing this morning. But 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, for I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. So this rock, later they refer to the rock again, but this rock followed them. So wherever they camped, there was a rock so that they can have water. So, but then it says, and the rock was Christ. So there's a rock, a shelter, a safe place where you'll get living water. So if you keep that in mind, the whole study on water and rivers and living water and stuff in the Bible is actually quite interesting. So I had a slide with all scriptures and then I thought, no, that's distracting. And then I took it off again. But there's really a lot of scriptures. It starts in Genesis and it ends in Revelation. Still talking about this river of life. Psalm 46 verse 1 to 3, again, David writes and he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. So God is our refuge and our strength. So you're out there in the battle every day, battling, but you have to remember that God is your refuge. He is your strength. And the cool thing about it is that God is actually not here at church. You don't have to wait for Sunday to come and have your refreshing to come and restore. You don't have to wait for Wednesday small group before you can be restored. He is there every day because he follows you wherever you go. Hopefully you follow him, but the point is he's with you, all right? Then the next two verses, also from Psalm 46, so he's talking about God is my refuge and my strength, and then verse 4 it says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. So there's a place where the river and the streams of God make glad. It refreshes. It restores. And as it does that, God is in the midst. It's in God's presence. That's where you'll find this river. It's in God's presence. And then you will get to the place where you feel strong. I will not be moved. Okay? So, as I said, this river is mentioned numerous times in the Bible. But in two or three places, it specifically refers to the river flowing from the throne of God. In Ezekiel, it talks about the river flowing from the temple, which at that point was where God dwelled. And then in Revelation as well, it talks about the river that flows from the throne of God. And then, so this water that flows with this river is the living water. It's different. It's like that water that I was describing just now. It's not your everyday tap water. It's not contaminated by anything of this world. It comes from a pure source. And then it flows into our hearts. It renews us. It satisfies us. But in all of those cases, it talks about it's flowing through us, from us to other places. So it also flows into the world, but only if we are there and we allow it to flow. Jesus was mentioning this as well in two places. The one was with a woman at the well. He spoke about he will give her the water that will then she will thirst no more. And then he also says, and this living water will bubble from your inmost being towards eternal life. But in John 7, verse 37 to 38, He says this again. He says, now on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried in a loud voice, if any man is thirsty, let him come to drink. Let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. So if you went through the app and you went to right to the end, it talks about an Eden outpost in our hearts. It's like the original presence and communion that God wanted to have with us in the Garden of Eden is now not in a temple anymore. It's not in a tabernacle. It's actually in our hearts where God dwells. And it's from that place where that springs of life come. That's where it originates, and that's where it flows from. So the invitation to you this morning, God's invitation, is to come. Take that pause. Be in that place where you become still. The waiting. So I told you the waiting doesn't stop. So you have to wait. As you wait, you get to this place where you can drink from the water of life that he gives you. And it starts to refresh you. It starts to renew you. And then this water, as you know, water has a few qualities that makes it really a suitable thing to compare this to, and the one is that water is life. You can try and survive without water, but you won't get very far. Okay, so we need water actually to live. Our body is made up of mostly water, right? So water gives life, but also in the spiritual comparison, it gives eternal life. You need this living water to be able to live. It's a cleansing. So as you go out on the battlefront and you have to, you know, fight off things, and you get sort of contaminated by the environment that you're in that is not godly, you have this place where you can go, and then it cleanses you again. Okay, it removes all those things that tires you, and then it is refreshing. Okay, water is refreshing, and this water is even more refreshing. Okay, so 3 to 5 days without water, and then that's it. Over. Okay, right. And then this water as well has one extra property. It doesn't stop. There's no limit to the source. We've got an unlimited source of where this water comes from. So it is eternal. So what do I do? So if you are thirsty for this water, a water that will refresh you, renew you, clean you, be there always, all right, give you life, you find this water in his presence. So, and that's why I say we can't stop waiting and move to refreshing or renewing. It doesn't work like that. You need the wait to get the refresh, okay? This is then the place, as we spend time in God's presence, as we spend time to actually hear him, to drink from that which he has for us, our soul will be refreshed and renewed, and it will bring life. So you will start to feel like you are really living again. You're not just dragging through life, barely making it. That's not God's plan for us. God wants us to thrive in life. He wants us to have a victorious life. This is how you get it. Okay? This is how you get it. And then in John 4, verse 13, that's where the woman at the well, and he says, the water that I will give him will come in him, become in him, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. As God gives it to you, it starts to bubble over. Okay, spill over. So I want to go back to Psalm 23, and I want to read it a little bit differently this time. I want you to read it progressively. So we tend to read it as a different aspects of a shepherd leading his sheep. But instead of reading it as different loose parts, I want you to read it as a progressive growing in God and walking in God. Okay. So it starts and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. So the first step is I have to make God my shepherd. If God is not your shepherd, then nothing else is relevant to you. Okay? So we start there. We say, God is my shepherd. Own it for yourself. God is my shepherd. Right? There's no limit to God. That you will not lack. That's that source that doesn't end. Okay, so I'm making God my shepherd, and I trust him because he's my shepherd. Okay, he cannot be your shepherd if you don't trust him. Okay, you have to trust him. Then he goes on and he says, he makes me lie down in fresh green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. That's the waiting. Okay, so I made God my shepherd. I trust him. I wait. Wait on God. Allow him to give you some of that living water. Let him give you rest and drink from him. It's sort of a safe place. This is where I can hide from the world, the onslaughts, the busyness, the demands, lots of demands. Hiding place, shelter. Okay? So then I'm there. Then the next one he says, he refreshes and restores my life. So because I'm drinking of his water and I'm waiting on him, I get refreshed. I get renewed in his presence. Okay? Then After that, he leads me in the path of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. So once I'm refreshed, I can now let God go before me and allow him to lead me out. All right? So now we're going out into the world. He will show me how to live. He will show me how to fend off the assaults and the battering. Okay? He will strengthen my faith. He will give me wisdom as I walk this path. Okay, then we carry on. And then he says, yes, though I walk through the deep sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear and dread no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect and your staff to guide. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So even when things get hard, in this harsh environment that I have to go into, even if things get hard, he is my shelter and he is always there. It's not as if my shepherd stayed at the green pastures and the quiet waters. He was leading me, which means he goes before me. He's there and he's always there so I can hide in him to be refreshed again. So when things becomes rough in the midst of my enemies, he will set the table, he will feed you, okay? Hiding place. Right. Then he says, you anoint my head with oil, my brimming cup runs over. So I am God's anointed. This means that the living water that I get from him, that's within me, flows over, the brimming cup running over. It's a spilling of what is inside of me, what God has imparted in me, spilling over into the world around me. And then the next one I find fascinating because it's usually interpreted differently, but bear with me. It says, surely or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And we often see that as God's blessing follows me where I go. But I want you to see it a little bit different. Yes, it is God's blessing, but why is it following me? Why is it not on me? Why is it not going before me? Why is it following me? And I almost see it as I'm spilling over and I'm walking, I have this stream of life that just runs because I was there. And it was running over. So I'm leaving it behind as I go so that others can drink from it. Okay. So his goodness, mercy, and unfailing love follows me all the days of my life like a trail of living water that flows everywhere I go. And then the next one says, and through the length of my days, the house of the Lord, and through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. Because he is always with me, I constantly go back into my hiding place. He's always there. So we've gone full circle. So we started off with God in this quiet place, and now he says, I'm in his dwelling place. I'm again there, being refreshed. And the circle starts again. Okay? Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Just to see it from that. It's a progressive thing, but yet it's also not a linear thing. And then I just want to read Isaiah 58 verse 11 again. Because this is the result of all of that. The waiting. And he says, and the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy you in drought and in dry places and make strong your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden. Some translation says a well-watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fails not. And this is who we become if we are constantly refreshed, restored, waiting, and then we can go out. So So I tried to make you this little diagram. There you go. So all of those circles keep going. They don't stop. They keep going. So I'm waiting, and because I'm waiting, I'm getting refreshed and renewed continually. And because I'm continually refreshed and renewed, I can keep running without getting tired, because I constantly again go back to waiting, because the waiting hasn't stopped. It keeps going. So it's progressive, but also not progressive. It's circular progressive, if that makes sense. Okay.
Yes.
So this is how I view it. So I just want to close then with this and say, God is our strength. He is our hiding place. We are renewed and refreshed by waiting on God and drinking from His water all the time. We cannot expect to survive in harsh conditions without returning to our hiding place continually, all the time. When we get refreshed constantly, our cups will start to run over. And then wherever we go, we will be like a well-watered garden that brings refreshing to glorify God.